Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we read and consider today, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. Mark chapter 16, verse 19, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When Jesus came into this world, he came to fulfill the promises God gave through the prophets. What did the prophets say about the coming Savior? Sometimes they portrayed him as a conquering king. Sometimes they spoke of him as a suffering servant. Which portrayal was right? Would he come to suffer? Or would he come to conquer? He came to do both. By suffering, he conquered. He defeated our enemies. He did not destroy them by the power of the sword or the gun. He didn't defeat them by deft politicking. He didn't make a deal with them, compromising good with evil. He routed them and rendered them powerless by suffering on the cross for the sin of the world. Christ's crucifixion is payment. It is payment to God. Jesus offers to the Father his own holy obedience. He does so vicariously as the substitute for all humanity. By this holy offering, he sets the world free. Christ's crucifixion is victory. It is the woman's seed crushing the serpent's head. It is good defeating evil. Innocence faces sin and overpowers it. God fights mankind's battle against the devil and prevails. When he prevails, those for whom he fought prevail. The suffering servant and the conquering king are one and the same person. His victory cannot be known apart from his suffering. The ascension of Jesus into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty is the ascension of him who suffered. It is to him that God speaks the words of the psalmist, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." St. Peter describes his ascension with the words, "Who has gone into heavens and is at the right hand of the Father, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him." He rules. He rules with authority. He has almighty power. The right hand of God is not a geographical location like Grafton, North Dakota, or Ada, Minnesota. You can't find heaven on a map. Christ's ascension into heaven doesn't confine him someplace far away from us. Not at all. St. Paul writes, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things." In ascending into heaven, Jesus assumes his rightful place at the right hand of God. But the Son of God was always equal to the Father, was he not? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are co-equal. None is greater or lesser than another because each person is God and no one is greater than God. The Son of God did not have to be born to live, to obey, to suffer, to die, to rise from the dead, and to ascend into heaven in order to have authority equal to the Father. But it was not just as the Son of God that Jesus ascended into heaven. It was also as the Son of Man. Jesus is one person. He has two natures, divine and human. When he assumed all authority in heaven and on earth, he did so as both our God and our brother. Jesus is our God, Jesus is our brother. It is as our God and our brother that Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father. As the hymnist puts it, He has raised our human nature in the clouds to God's right hand. There we sit in heavenly places. There with Him in glory stand. Jesus reigns, adored by angels. Man with God is on the throne. Mighty Lord, in Thine ascension, we by faith behold our own. What is He doing at the right hand of God? What is His session at the right hand of the Father all about? What is its purpose? The Apostle Paul explains the purpose of Christ's ascension when he writes, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Jesus intercedes for us. He died for us, now he intercedes for us. He pleads our case. He made our cause His cause when He joined our flesh and blood in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Our cause is still His cause as our flesh and blood are exalted at the right hand of the Father. If only we could learn what true authority is all about. It's not about pushing people around. Jesus didn't gain His kingdom by threats, bribery, coercion, or manipulation. He gained His kingdom by suffering the wrong in silence and bearing the sin of sinners without complaint. This is what has brought us peace with God. This is what has washed away our sins and delivered us from their penalty. This is the power that destroyed our death. This is how He led captivity captive and delivered us out of spiritual slavery into the liberty of the children of God. And that's what we preach. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." This is what takes place here on earth. It doesn't look like much. Mortal and fallible men speak. Water is poured over the head. It's not much to look at. But when this is going on here on earth, the Lord Jesus is ruling over this world from the right hand of divine majesty in heaven. He governs all nations. He rules over this whole world in such a way that His gospel will achieve the purpose for which He has it preached. Sinners on their way to hell will be delivered from their sins and be sent on their way to heaven. Jesus reigns. As the choir sings, He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and He shall reign forever and ever. He rules over the whole universe. He has almighty, sovereign power. And where does He choose to display His power? How does He choose to exercise His authority? He speaks words of forgiveness to sinners caught in their sins and facing certain death. He rescues them from their well-deserved damnation. He raises them up by faith into the glories of heaven. But here on earth, everything appears much as it has always appeared. This bothers people. They want more evidence of Christ's authority than He is willing to provide. His rule is invisible. They want to see. They think that the gospel preached and the sacraments administered are rather mundane and impotent things. They see no evidence of power. They feel no power from it all. So they wander into one error after another, seeking a Jesus who will display His power visibly. This is why one of the most persistent errors afflicting Christ's church over the centuries has been a substitution of political power for spiritual authority. We see this error in the claims of the papacy that requires all pastors everywhere to bow before the authority of the Pope at Rome. We see this error in the many forms of millennialism, the notion that Jesus will return to this world not to judge the living and the dead, but to set up a political kingdom on this earth and to rule over it for 1,000 years. We see it in every attempt to replace the authority of the gospel with the power of the sword. It is very true that Jesus rules over the nations of the world. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. But he gave to his church spiritual, not civil, authority. The church has no power to legislate. The church has no mandate to reform society. The church's business is the proclamation of the gospel. That's because the greatest need we have in this world is for the forgiveness of sins. All of the sin out there that causes wars, injustice, poverty, and every sort of social evil is not just out there. It is in here. It is inside of us, every single one of us. We don't need a Savior who will establish social justice or bring about peace between the nations. We need a Savior who will intercede for us before the throne of God. And that's what he does. He speaks on behalf of those of a contrite and humble heart. They are those who do not boast of their sins or defend them or make excuses for them. They confess. They're grieved by their failure to love. God demands that we love him above all things. God demands that we love our neighbors as ourselves. We fail. The contrite sinner is the one who knows this, is sorry for this, and confesses this to God. We confess. Jesus intercedes. He speaks on our behalf to God. He shows the Father his holy obedience and reminds him that he offered it for us. He doesn't try to get us off on some legal technicality. He points to his righteous obedience, and he points to his holy suffering. He points to what he did for us as our substitute. He does so with authority. God the Father accepts his plea for us. The Father loves the Son and grants him everything he asks. So we are forgiven of all our sins. We are at peace with God. This we have through faith in the one who died, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Christ's ascension to the right hand of God foreshadows our ascension on the last day. Christ is the head of his church. The Christians, that is, the Holy Christian Church, are the body of Christ. Now, where the head is, there the body must be. So even as we travel through life here below, our true home is in heaven, where Christ rules as our King. So we look to the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only concerning the present intercession that he offers on our behalf, but also seeing there the future of the Holy Christian Church. This church militant will become the church triumphant, and that is so just as surely as Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate, suffered, was buried, rose again on the third day, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This broadcast is brought to you by members of First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We'd like to invite you to the services of our parish every Sunday morning, First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, divine service at 8 o'clock. Sunday morning at 9:30, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Sunday morning at 11:30, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville. If you'd like to know a little bit more about what we believe and teach and confess, go online to www.christforus.org. Christforus.org, and we have sermons, we have papers, all sorts of interesting things that you're welcome to check out. If you'd like to contact me, my name is on the front page of the website, Pastor Rolf Preuss. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.